Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Gordon.
Just a word about the order of service this morning. Ian's away, primarily because it's Assembly Week in Edinburgh, and we thought it was a good idea that he should be free this Sunday to do that. I also have a suspicion that because it's Trinity Sunday, and the complexities of the Trinity, that he's disappeared for that reason as well. I was just thinking this morning, I always seem to get landed with Trinity. There we are. Just a word about the service. I've chosen this morning for the text and what I'll say in the sermon message about the issue which is constantly in the news. It was on BBC Breakfast this morning about mental health issues. And is there a spiritual dimension to dealing with mental illness? And I'm going to link that to Mark's Gospel and the man with the so-called unclean spirit who tackled Jesus. Our reading this morning is from Mark's Gospel, in the first chapter, verses 21 to 28. And I'm delighted that Leonis from Jam is here to read it for us this morning. So Leonis, would you like to come on up?
Jesus casts out an evil spirit. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went to a synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, but he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue, who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet, come out of the man, you are afraid." At that, the evil spirit screamed. Here the man took convulsion, and then came at them. Amazing gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "They have such authority, even evil spirits obey his orders." The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee.
In that reading from Mark, we hear of a man with an unclean or afflictive spirit, a troubled man who shouts at Jesus, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Can you imagine it? In that temple, big crowd jostling to see and hear Jesus. For he taught, as you heard, with such authority, and they were all amazed. And then this heckler interrupts them and shouts out. And as would happen today, I guess, all eyes turn to Jesus to see what he would do. "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly, "and come out of him." The afflicting spirit threw the man into violent convulsions and with a loud shriek left him. I wonder what you're sitting there thinking or making of that story. In this sophisticated and scientific age, when belief in most things spiritual are dismissed as nonsense, what are we to make of this story about unclean or evil spirits? I think today that man in our story would probably be described as having a mental health condition. Today, mental health issues are increasingly on the news. As I said earlier, there was a feature this morning on BBC Breakfast. There's a criticism that governments, successive governments, have failed to tackle mental health issues, and that our physical well-being is somehow far, far more important. Although the exact causes of most mental health issues are unknown, I'm glad that we've reached a point where they are being talked about openly with a view to trying to sort them out. For we're all potentially at risk, aren't we? We're vulnerable to such problems, no matter our age or our gender. And when you look at the research, it suggests a combination of causes for mental health issues. Some are genetic, some are biological, some are psychological, and the one that is important for me is the environmental impacts. What the research has also shown is that it has little or nothing to do with personal weakness or character defect. Recovery from such ill health is often tough and sometimes evasive, and not simply a matter of will or self-determination. Pastor Rick Warren of Saddlebank Church in California said this: "It's amazing to me that any other organ in your body can break down and there's no stigma or shame. But if your brain breaks down, you're supposed to keep it a secret. If your brain isn't able to work as it should, why should you be ashamed?" As many of you will probably know, Rick Warren's son committed suicide last year at the age of 28 after a lifetime of mental anguish. As with most biblical passages, context is not only important, it can be almost everything. Mark's Gospel, that reading we heard, was written around 70 AD, the year the Romans razed Jerusalem to the ground. It was a terrible time for the Jewish people. Titus, the Roman Emperor, did the unthinkable and entered the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary of the temple, reserved for God's presence in the Jewish belief, and accessed only by the Jewish high priest. Titus went on to loot the temple coffers and then burned it to the ground. It was a truly traumatic and violent time for the Jewish people. Their homes were ransacked and destroyed. Their lives were tormented by the cruelty and brutality of Rome. They saw family and friends violated and killed, often by crucifixion. Little wonder that men and women of that time lost their minds, because trauma then, as today, is one of the principal causes of mental anxiety and distress. Think today of Syria. Think today of the trauma caused by the likes of ISIL and other jihadist groups around the globe. Think of the victims, the refugees who today have seen their lives destroyed by violent oppressors. We don't know what so distressed that man who encountered Jesus. But to this man with the unclean spirits, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God, brought peace and calm and respite. I don't know if you noticed it, but a week or two ago in the order of service, Ian included a quote by the poet and author Patience Strong. She wrote various books from a Christian perspective on psychology. And in Ian's quote in the order of service, I put it on the screen, it said, "In these days of strife, turmoil and complexity, we all need peace. The peace that brings the inward calm of quiet thoughts. The precious balm that comes to us from worlds we cannot see. In these days of unrest, we need a place where at times we can find sanctuary and learn the secret of tranquility." Whatever tormented the man's spirit, it could not be undone. But Jesus succeeded in taking him to a quieter and better place where in his mind he could find peace and calm. And that is the crux of the story, for me at least. If you reflect on it, you may interpret it differently. But for me, that is the crux of the story. Mental illnesses, mental ill health, is a growing public health concern. And one of the most worrying aspects is the increasing number of problems among our young people. Young Minds, a mental health charity, attributes this to a variety of reasons. Problems at home, stress at school, the online culture, body image issues, I'm overweight, I'm too skinny, and early sexualisation. As a result of such problems, the Girl Guide movement is introducing a new badge called Think Resilient. It's being created at the request of guides themselves. And the badge, as I put up on the slide, aims to give girls a vital space to talk about their mental well-being and resilience. And as part of the badge, I understand the girls will learn self-calming techniques in sessions that are tailored to the different age groups of guides. It's an inspired initiative by the guides, but it's a sad indictment, isn't it, of present-day living. Is it a coincidence that while mental health concerns have been on the increase, spiritual awareness and religious affiliation have declined? Media reports, any report, never speak about the part spiritual awareness might play in our mental well-being. Quite the opposite. I dug this out of my Sunday newspapers last week. You can, anyone interested afterwards can take it away. It's a media report that says that Dutch euthanasia clinics were now considering patients with mental as well as physical problems. Secularists, humanists, scoff at ancient scripture. They tell us religion is wrong. They tell us it causes trouble. God is dismissed, and with it the place of prayer and contemplation. Yet what better self-calming exercise is there but to seek out and hopefully sense God? To sit in the quiet, to contemplate, and to pray. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised by the antics of the man with the tormented spirit. He may have been suffering from some inexplicable mental illness. Perhaps, as the story implies, his body and mind had been invaded by an alien or evil spirit. Equally, he may have been severely traumatized by his environment and the events around him. The Romans' violence, the grieving for loss of home or family. I don't know if you've noticed, but For me, the people of the Middle East and in other countries as well, they have a knack, the ability to let go of their emotions. When they grieve, they openly grieve, whereas we tend to bottle it up, stiff up on it. You might recall 4 or 5 years ago, the murder in London of 14-year-old David Tedavo. He was knifed by another teenager, 16-year-old Elijah Dewani, in a park just opposite his home. When David's father heard the news of his son's death in hospital, he was so shocked and traumatized that he collapsed on the floor and was convulsing and crying. For a time, that man, David's father, young David's father, was temporarily out of his mind. Until one of his other sons said to his father, "You've forgotten, father, what you have always taught us, that when trouble strikes, you said we should pray." Jesus didn't erase or undo whatever the man with the tormented spirit suffered. And there was no quick fix for the Adabu family either. But over time, and by drawing close to God, they found peace, calm, and respite. And that process may have been aided by the fact that they were able to openly forgive their son's killer. I don't want to give any impression at all that I underestimate the gravity and complexity of mental health problems. Professional, medical, and psychological help are absolutely vital. But as in the story of the man with the unclean spirit, if people can be helped to have an awareness, a sense of God, it offers us the prospect of being taken to a better place, a place where our hearts and minds might find inner peace, calm, and respite. For our Trinitarian God is mind, body, and spirit. God, the Father, the source of wisdom. Jesus, God become man and lived among us. And Spirit, constantly present within us. The three sides of God in perfect harmony, speaking with one voice to our mind, body, and spirit, because we are made in God's image. God doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say, he will undo or take away our dark and troubled times, but he will be with us during those times. And by the power of the Spirit of Christ, we can be helped to deal with what may seem impossible. And that surely has a part to play in our mental well-being. Amen. So as Heather quickly changes the music, she's going to play Aphon Kiss, I Will Give the Benediction, and then we will sing the blessing. and remain with us.